Okay, so I'm going to just talk a little bit about the central faculty, mindfulness, sati, which is also, the main thrust of the Satipatthana Sutta, mindfulness. So maybe the first thing to say is, as I said before, there are different ways of practicing using the material of the Satipatthana Sutta and therefore of sati. And this is quite a receptive approach. So we're stressing the quality of mind that is observing, that is being aware, rather than stressing what we're aware of, the objects of experience. So we're much less interested in those things that awareness notices, that the mind picks up on, which may be the breath, it may be thoughts, maybe whatever. So we're much less interested in those, and particularly in the content of those things. And we're more interested in the quality of the mind that's noticing. So Bhante talks about this as an intelligent, responsive awareness to ever-changing conditions. Mindfulness as an intelligent, responsive awareness to ever-changing conditions. So if you like, the how of awareness, the quality of the mind, or how we're aware, needs to be quite flexible, to be responsive, flexible and agile. I mean, the mind can sometimes be quite quick and agile when there's some anxiety or hypervigilance in it. So obviously it's not that sort of mind quality, but a relaxed, settled back awareness that enables us to be quite naturally responsive and take in what's happening. So I think I've used the word natural a few times now, so letting the mind be natural, not trying to make something happen through personal effort. If you like, allowing awareness to do its own work, allowing it to build momentum through noticing what's happening. And I think the image of a naturalist is quite a good metaphor in relation to mindfulness. In relation to sati. So mindfulness tends to look at things in their natural environment. It doesn't, or he or she doesn't usually sort of bring them into the lab to put under a microscope. That has its place. The scientific laboratory method has its place, but the naturalist is usually looking at things in the natural world. They're investigating as closely as they can, but they're under the sun, or amidst the trees, or in the swamps, wherever they are. And this is what we're looking to do with awareness of body mind, is to look at it in its natural state. What's happening when we don't try and make something else happen? So the naturalist lets things be, doesn't try and control, doesn't try and make the ants go in a slightly different pathway, to put a little blockage and see what they do. So in a way we're looking to not sort of add those mental blockages or emotional agendas. But what awareness can also do is notice, as we notice the things that we do to interfere or to sort of try and impose on our own minds. It can see the wants and things that we want and the things that we don't want. So that process is also part of being aware. So with the aim of not interfering, we're also able to see the habits of interfering, the habits of trying to make something different. So that's part of what's also naturally happening. So we're getting to know the body and mind. We're getting to know what's happening through the senses more in their natural state. And this gives us a different perspective, which came up in one of the questions earlier. So there's less of a feeling of involvement, of being merged with experience. There's more of a sense of being able to notice what's happening and notice what that feels like, what a breath feels like, what a thought feels like in the mind. So we're not uninvolved, but there's a wise involvement. There's an involvement that's able to feel, but be less merged, if you like, with particular objects. And that helps give this flexibility that I talked about at the beginning, because the mind is very quick. And when we relax and settle back, different objects will come and go in the mind and through the body. So sometimes I think of it as being a bit like juggling. I don't know if you've ever juggled. I've tried. Mm-hmm. But you need to be really relaxed and really not do too much. If you do too much, if you try and sort of snatch balls, then you drop them or reach for them. You have to be quite sort of grounded and in one place and let the balls come to you. So actually your movement is quite minimal, but you're able to respond quite sort of quickly just with these quite subtle movements. So sati, mindfulness, probably the association perhaps most of us are most familiar with is of present moment awareness. So what's happening now? What's happening right now? Often awareness is right there. We just need some little trigger to, okay, actually, I know what's happening. There's sensations where my hands are touching. There's sensations in the back of the throat from speaking. There's seeing different colours, shapes and forms all around me. So all that can be known while I'm speaking. But what we're more used to doing in our regular lives is attending more to our ideas about what's happening. Our ideas about, and often they include what should be happening or what shouldn't be happening. But even our ideas about the breath, a concept rather than a direct experience. And it's not that our ideas about things go away or the concept level drops away, but we can sort of shift the balance a bit more. So perhaps we've got a more, we raise the amount of attending to something that can be directly known through the senses, the sensations in the body, the sounds around us, the knowing that seeing is happening and sights are being known. So we can sort of, if you like, raise that level. And with it, the percentage of ideas about experience or second-hand experience drops, and we come into more balance. So we're just giving more weight to direct experience. We like concepts, we like ideas. Often we amuse ourselves with ideas about things, or speculating and assuming about what might happen or what's going to happen. It's fun for the mind quite often. It can also be what drives us slightly around the bend, the amount of mind chatter, if you like. So as well as the physical sensations, being more aware of the direct experience of our mental impressions might be stimulated by a question like, how does a thought feel in the mind? What does knowing feel like in the mind? What does awareness feel like? So all of these questions can sort of just point us. They don't need answering, but they can point us to away from the conceptual realm and more into a direct experience. So it's important, receptivity is important to the quality of awareness, because it allows more to be known, more to be seen. If we're active, if we're doing a lot of doing, we get in our own way. And we tend to go along pathways that are already known to us. So there's less chance of when I quoted Einstein last night, about daydreaming being the only pathway to fresh ideas. And I said, well, you could say the same with awareness. Awareness, we need that receptivity to be able to allow things that have not been previously known to us to manifest. So Abanti has this to say about receptivity. He says, receptivity is the first requisite of the disciple and of anyone who wants to learn anything. We can be anything else we like. We can be wicked. We can be stupid. We can be full of faults. We can backslide. In a sense, it doesn't matter. But we must be spiritually receptive. We have to be willing and ready to learn. When we know that we do not know, everything is possible. I really like that. Especially that we can be wicked. Mm-hmm. We can backslide. There's a little fable that I like that I think demonstrates receptivity quite well. And it's apparently an Aesop's fable about the sun and the wind. And the sun and the wind apparently were up in the sky having a chat one day, and they saw someone down below, and they were having a little tussle with each other, and they had a bet with this particular person on the ground. Let's say it's a bloke, and they said, I bet you I can get him to take his coat off before you can. And so the wind said, I'm going first. And the wind blew and blew and blew, and the man's coat just sort of flapped around him, and so he just pulled it tighter, pulled it more and more tightly, did up all the buttons, and the wind didn't get anywhere with the bet. So the sun said, okay, it's my turn. And the sun just did what came naturally. He released the sort of warmth of his rays and just shone a little, and the man sort of got a bit warm and relaxed his hold on his coat, and then the sun shone a bit more, just naturally shone, and before you know it, the man had taken his coat off. So this is what happens with receptivity. We in a way allow the mind to shine, to just do what it does naturally, just to allow it to loosen and relax and open. So maybe the last thing to say about mindfulness or awareness for now is that it has the flavour of impartiality. It doesn't pick and choose. So it doesn't... it's very similar to this non-interfering quality, but it's very easy for us to sort of pick, I like this thing, I'll try and have a bit more of that, or I don't like that, I don't like sleepiness, so let's try not to have it. Actually, awareness is just able to notice what's happening, and as far as it's concerned, any object in the mind is as good as any other object for cultivating awareness or allowing awareness to grow. So I think this is quite an interesting perspective. So you can have a mind state, perhaps you can have quite strong anger in the mind. It's not a problem. If you can be aware of it in some way, there isn't a need to suppress it or to, hopefully we're not going to indulge in it. If we can simply be aware of it as an object arising in experience, be interested in what's happening now, what's anger like in the mind, what's it like in the body. So you don't... this is quite a good one to look at, actually, because perhaps it's more natural for us to think, how do I make this go away? And even if that's in a really positive sense of how do I bring a more skillful quality into the mind, how do I... If you like, awareness is that skillful quality. Mindfulness is what is simply noticing what's happening. And through that skillful noticing... that interest, it's most likely that awareness will decrease. The aversion will decrease, anger will decrease. It's where the quality of mind is more significant. It's more significant than what we're aware of. I mean, this is held in the context of the precepts. So if you're again, if you find yourself in a situation where your aversion is the size of a mountain and your awareness is the size of a mouse, then other strategy, and therefore you're in danger of voicing strong anger in a really unhelpful way, then it's time for another strategy. So the practice is held within the context of the precepts. But where you can, just, again, let awareness do its work through interest, through a wise involvement. It's very easy to go in and just say, this shouldn't be happening. Try and sort of shut it down, or try and make it into something else. Try and make it into metta. We have practices where we do. We do that. But this is a slightly different approach. This is, what's that like in the mind and the body? What's that feeling of anger or frustration? Feeling into its intensity, perhaps its restlessness. What happens when I bring awareness to it? So that's the, if you like, the strength of the impartiality of awareness. It's able to notice whatever arises, with the same the same lack of fear, actually, a lack of what's happening here? This shouldn't be happening. What do I do? So, oh, okay. This is really interesting. So maybe that's what I'll say for now. Are there any quick questions before we sit before lunch? Any questions or comments?
My only comment would be, it feels to me like it's a different flavour than just being with what is.
Say more?
The being with what is feels to be quite passive.
Okay. Yeah, it can do.
So there's just something. I mean, I'm just kind of getting my head around really, because it feels like there's really something in this around the being, the quality of awareness.
Yeah.
So that it's bathed in the quality of awareness rather than it being just being with what is, which feels slightly more kind of psychological.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes.
Yeah, maybe. I think this is why it's good to, in a way, just tease out some of what is meant by awareness, because you're right, it does, it has quite big implications if we can actually be fully aware, fully receptive to what's happening. And I think it's particularly in the territory of craving and aversion, where a lot of our most of our reactivity happens. So in a way, you're setting up a mind that's able to be with experience without pinging into one of those two things. Or if the mind, if there is a big sort of reaction in the mind, then, oh, can I be aware of that? So there's always the possibility of being aware of something, different levels of happenings. There's happenings and then there's reactions to happenings in the mind. Yeah, so there's a lot to it. And actually, I think mindfulness in its full sense does have... It does have some wisdom in it. I'll come on to that more fully probably tomorrow. But there is this in the territory of impartiality and a wise involvement, then it is more than simply being with.